Good morning. This is Virtual Newsmakers. Are you curious about how to use Instagram? Today we have Jen Herman joining us from San Diego, and Debbie is in Edmonton, Canada, and I'm in Miami, and we're going to be talking about how to use Instagram to help your small business and how to use it in your life. So Jen is an expert. She's a business consultant. She's got a company and a blog called Jen's Trends. And I'd like to welcome Jen to come talk with us about Instagram.
Hi, I'm Jen here. I'm excited to be here.
How did you get started? Give us a little bit, you know, how did you get started? What is it that caused you to start to consult with your clients?
So I started my blog about 3.5 years ago, which is JensTrends.com, and it was really one of those things. I'm a busy body. I'm a busy mind. I can't stand, you know, being bored and not doing things. The more I do, the more my brain is like, you know, it's like a muscle. The more I do, the more it works better. So I was the kind of person who I had a full-time day job, and I would do puzzles on the weekend, or we would go do things on the weekend. But I was like, I need something more. And so literally it was like a random Sunday afternoon. I sat down on the couch and I was like, I'm going to start a blog. Like totally random. Like I had no plan. Like this was not strategized. This was not a business. This was not like, I'm just going to start a blog.
Right.
But I didn't want to invest any money in it. So I did like the free WordPress.org, you know, and it was like, everything was like, you know, I didn't want to host anything. I used a free, theme and all that kind of stuff. And I just started writing blogs, and it was, I know why, but at the time I was like, oh, well, this is really easy. Like, I have people following me, and I was getting invited onto Google Hangouts to talk to people. And
nice.
Like, it really quickly developed. And the reason I think why is because I didn't use it as a business. I wasn't saying I'm a consultant. I wasn't using it to say buy my services. I was just saying, hey, I wrote a blog post. And so after about 6 months, I realized, okay, this is viable. Like, I need to, you know, think more strategically about this. So that was when I actually went on to like an actual website, my own hosted website, and got a theme and got everything set up and did it much more, you know, professionally. And I started offering consultation services, excuse me, and doing more of that kind of business side of it. So I kind of did it a bit backwards. Most people start with a business and then try to build a brand. Well, I built the brand and then figured, hey, let's make it a business. So that was how I got started.
That's a perfect example, I think, of how to use social media right. Because I think what happens is businesses try to use social media to market people to death instead of just being human voices. And, you know, and I think the thing that makes social media so wonderful is it enables us to be human and to have voices. So how you did it, I think, is probably a better way of organically growing your presence online.
So Jen, tell us what makes a good Instagram post.
Well, when it comes to Instagram, it is about the photo. I mean, that's first and foremost what people are going to see. That's what's going to get people to stop. So that photo has to be really powerful. You don't want something that's blurry, pixelated, poor lighting. Even if I'm taking a photo of a flower or of my daughter or of my computer or my desk, I take 20, 30, 40 photos, I'm not even joking, and I go through and immediately delete the ones that are not good, that have like something weird in the background or just bad angle. And then the remaining good ones, I go through and I'm literally scrolling through every single one, hyper-analyzing. Okay, is this off? Is this turned a slightly different angle? Is the lighting better on this one? And you always want to pick that best photo because that's what people see in the feed. You don't think that they're just going to be like, oh, that's okay. You want them to stop because that's what gets them to read your message in the caption. So a good Instagram post is that two parts. It's that amazing photo, but then you have powerful caption. What are you trying to tell them? Do you have a call to action? Are you trying to provide value? Are you asking a question? Whatever that is, you've got to use that caption to your advantage. I hate when you log on and you see somebody who just puts hashtags only, or there's no caption, or it's like one sentence and there's nothing descriptive about it. And especially from a marketing standpoint, you really, really want to use that caption well. But you have to understand that when you go to Instagram now, the only thing people see is kind of the first three lines. So you almost want that first sentence to be like your blog post title or like an email subject header. You want the line to be so impactful that they have to hit that dot, dot, dot more to read your caption.
And then with the hashtags, how do you suggest people select those?
So hashtags are the little secret sauce on Instagram. And if anybody knows me, they know I hate a hashtag. I don't use them on any other platform. I don't even use them on Twitter.
I don't either.
I use them like candy when it comes to Instagram. You kind of have to. It's what gets you the reach. It's what gets you the exposure. And it makes such a huge difference when you are using it, especially from a marketing perspective. But even just to get exposure in whatever purpose you want, the Instagram hashtags make such a difference. So you want
to. How do you know how to find the right ones, though, for your particular post? You just make them up, or is there a way to find the right ones?
You can go to the search tool. So if you go onto Instagram, there's the little magnifying glass. And so you go to the magnifying glass, and you tap the tags tab. You can start typing in. So if you start typing in social media, you'd see all the hashtags that come up with social media in it. And you can see how many posts are associated with that. So if you typed into social media, you'd see there's like millions of posts. And if you typed in social media marketing, there's probably hundreds of thousands of posts. Okay. So as you're going through, you can see what's more popular. So you want to use some of those popular ones that are related to your content. Don't just use them just because they're popular. But you also want to use some that aren't as popular, something that's very niche specific. So like I use a lot of like hashtag Instagram marketing or hashtag Instagram expert, because that's the niche that I want to dominate, where if someone goes to that hashtag, they will find a lot of my content. So you want to use a combination of those popular ones, which are going to get you new reach and exposure, but you want to get the ones that are very specific to your niche and industry. So for example, if you were a photographer, you'd want to use hashtag photography, but then you'd also want to use, maybe you only do, you know, landscape photography. So you might want to do something specific to those types of hashtags, so that when people are looking for those things, they're going to find your content.
See, I would venture to say that this is also the same type of strategy, is very similar to gain to attract followers and to attract eyeballs using Google Plus. It's hashtag driven as well.
Yep.
But I don't think that Facebook does that very well, which is why I don't do it on Facebook. And Twitter, they don't even need hashtags anymore, because they've evolved past that. So
yeah, they just search the search term, no matter whether it's in there as a hashtag.
Yeah. So I think that Twitter was the start of the hashtag, but now it's passé to use hashtags in Twitter. But it's required, or it's a huge part of
Instagram
and Google Plus.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think also having the right search terms in YouTube is incredibly important, because these are all search engines.
Yes. And that's the thing too. So that people understand, on Twitter, like you were saying, you don't even need the hashtag. If you put in the search term on Twitter, it's going to find your content. On Facebook search for something, it's going to find the content. But on Instagram, if it's not a hashtag, it will not find the content. It's not looking in your bio. It's not looking in your captions. It's not looking in the comments. It's only going to look for hashtags when it comes to content. So if you want someone to find you for a certain keyword, you want that keyword as a hashtag on all of your content.
Well, and I would also venture to say that there are affinity-based groups on Instagram that are very, that's how those groups formulate, is around those hashtags.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
One good example of one of those groups is, and something I do when I'm out and about, like the other day I took a picture from a bus stop, and I will use the hashtag bus stop. I'll use the hashtag YEG in Edmonton, where it was taken. I'll also use the hashtag urban photography and city life. And I had actually gone through and checked some of those out to see what other people were posting under those hashtags. So, you can. It's interesting to see, and since I've started using those hashtags, the people that I've been bringing to my Instagram and the ones that have been posting likes and commenting are people that are in that realm that are also using that other hashtag. And it's also how I found some really great photographs and content of other people using that. Another group that I haven't really posted a whole lot on it is street art and the graffiti art that's out there. There is a really huge trend of that on Instagram that is quite phenomenal to see some of the pictures that are shared on that platform.
And I have to say, it's when like you mentioned, you use like the YEG is Edmonton, and like YYJ is Victoria, YVR is Vancouver, you know. And I have to admit, from what I've noticed, and for those who don't know, I am originally from Canada, so maybe that's why I'm more aware of it. But I know a lot of people in Canada use their city hashtag like that, and I don't see that a lot in the States. Like, I mean, no.
We use 305. For Miami. Mm-hmm. You see 305, okay, Cafecito 305, you know, we use really cultural things. Okay. There is a terrific PR and social media maven. Her name is Jenny Lee Molina, and she started Cafecito 305, and everybody takes pictures of their little cafe, which are little teeny tiny coffees, mm-hmm. Cuban coffees, that everybody around 305 is our area code, but at 305 every day in the afternoon, she does the, or people start putting up images kind of related to Miami and coffee and whatnot under the hashtag Cafecito 305. Yeah, so she really started that, and she's actually on probably the third picture over on my current Instagram. We're doing a celebration for her Cafecito 305. So, yeah. Or 305 Cafecito. I'm sorry. That's the right one. So
there's so many cool things to use Instagram for, and I think maybe we should kind of dive into some of that. I was mentioning one the other day. Seemed like it might be a mock ad firm who is really a filmmaker, and they're doing little vignettes. They seem a little longer than Vine videos, but their whole Instagram is a story told with little mini video clips, and it's almost like a scene from The Office, and they're
That's
funny
fun.
Little clips, and it tells a whole story when you go through their whole Instagram profile, and so you could use that from a business perspective as well. That may be a real advertising agency, I don't know, but you could use that as a real advertising agency. You could use that as any kind of business, use video vignettes or even pictures to tell a story. I've seen picture books done on Instagram. So Jen, can we talk a little bit about how some businesses can use it differently?
Yeah, I saw that ad agency you sent me the link to, which is definitely like a bit of a unique way of doing it. Like you said, everything is short little videos, and it's meant to kind of give that behind the scenes kind of like real life experience of what it's like to work in their agency. And it's kind of comical, and I'm sure it's very scripted, and they plan out what they're going to do in each episode and that sort of thing. So that was a very, you know, kind of unique way to build your brand. And you want to do that as long as it's in line with your brand. You don't want to turn around and say, you know, we're a super professional law firm and we're going to make ourselves look like comedians. Mm-hmm. You know, you want yeah. the message to meet your brand. So keep that in mind. Don't just say, oh, I saw this and this is what I need to be doing. If it doesn't match who you are as a company and as a brand voice, don't do it just because.
How would you recommend to a law firm to put out something that's in line with their brand in such a way that doesn't sound like one of those traffic ticket defense, you know, TV ads or radio ads?
It depends, again, on the brand. So there's an immigration lawyer here in San Diego, mm-hmm. And I believe his Instagram handle is, like, @SanDiegoImmigrationLaw or something like that. and it's Jacob Sabotsky is his name, and he has built an entire Instagram platform around his business. And what he does is, because he's kind of more of a one-man show, he has a staff that works with him, but they show the reality of who they are. So what he does on the weekends with his family, and you know what the other employees are doing, and if they do employee events, or they're out around San Diego at a charity event, or a run or a race or any of those. So he's showing who he is as a person, and what it's done is it's built this trust factor for him as a lawyer, that he's built up a ton of new clients because they're like, I know this guy, I trust this guy,
I'm comfortable
going to him for my immigration law.
Well, his is super fun. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
And it turns him out of being a suited up lawyer and into being this very human, real person you want to connect with.
And that's the biggest thing. It really is. But yeah, he does a really good job of bringing that personality to being a trustworthy situation, and it's kind of more where you want to find it, like, you know, if you're a bigger law firm and maybe you do corporate law or you do, you know, some sort of, you know, accounting or something that's a little bit more boring, but you could still do like employee features and you could still do, you know, highlight a different employee every week and who they are and what they do and what they specialize in. You can do some things behind the scenes. If you do those things, you do charity events or corporate events or, you know, showcase things around your city that you are, if you do, you know, a local type law firm and you deal with local clients. There's a lot of different ways that you want to, I always tell people, imagine there's a camera crew following you around. Like you're on a reality show. What do you do every day? Everything you do can be translated to a photo. Are you taking phone calls? Are you taking meetings? Are you working on emails? Are you going to lunch? Are you meeting with new clients? Are you meeting with your boss? Like, all of these things that you're doing every day, if you took the time to stage them and pose them for a good photograph, better showcase what you do as a business. And that goes across the board for any business. That's a stay-at-home mom. I mean, even a mom who's, you know, working at home while the kids are at school. You know, talk about picking up the kids from school. That's part of your brand. That's part of your business. So you don't want to make the same thing every single day. You can find unique ways to tie that in and make it true to who you are.
I think, going back to that, looking at his is human. Yeah. And it doesn't look like an ad. And I think that's, you know, that's so fun to see. Now let me ask you, so when you click on one of his posts and you read some, you know, whatever he's talking about, happy Saturday, I don't normally wear a hat, but when I do, and then all the hashtags, but it doesn't really seem to lead back to him. I wouldn't know to go to his...
Well, it's because not every post he does is about building the business. It's about building... trust factor. It's about building himself as a brand. And a lot of the people that follow him are already his existing clients. So he's not necessarily even going after, you know, potential new clients. He's not saying that he's not, but he's keeping that relationship with his existing clients so that they're likely to give word of mouth. They're more likely to call him up when, and let's face it, most people who immigrate here are going to have family and friends who are going to immigrate here. So using that as a referral tactic as well. But he will occasionally, you know, post something that's more business related, in which case then he says, you know, go to the link in my bio or go to our website and that sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, and I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand is not every single post needs to be business related.
It could. I get that. Yeah. Well, the thing is that I think that it falls more in line potentially with Facebook, if you were thinking strategically for a business in terms of social media, because when you're maintaining existing relationships and that word of mouth, that's for all the people who already know you. Whereas if you're trying to reach people who don't know anything about you yet, you might choose to use YouTube or Google, where people are looking for an immigration lawyer. That type of strategy, so it's a layer within that hits a certain audience.
You have to think about that from that business perspective. Is on average, if someone's Googling Instagram law, or Instagram, sorry, immigration law, they're going to go to Google to find an immigration lawyer. They're not going to go to Instagram and say, oh, I wonder if there's an immigration lawyer on Instagram. Like, they're less likely to, they might come across him a hashtag or something that is related to that kind of being in San Diego or something to do with immigration, but they're not going to Instagram to find an immigration lawyer. They are going to go to Google to find an immigration lawyer. Just like, on average, someone's not going to go to Instagram to find me as a social media marketer. They're going to find me on, you know, whether it's Googling and they find my blog or something, but they might come across me on Instagram looking for something else, and they come across my content, that then they find out who I am and what I do. So you can still find potential clients on Instagram, but they're coming across you more likely by accident.
Randomly, yeah.
Than actually go and search you out, unless they know who you are and now they're trying to find you.
Well, there is, Instagram is owned by Facebook, which is why I could almost, if I were to consult with a business, which I have, recommend, you know, base most of your strategy using something like Facebook or Instagram to deal, you know, to keep your brand in front of your existing customers and keep them loyal and having fun and always on top of their mind, because those existing customers are always going to be your low-hanging fruit. It's easier to get sales or whatever it is you're trying to market to those customers through, you know, through the places where they already are. But so what you're saying is Instagram isn't necessary. So if you were to be trying to market as a business to not existing customers, all the people who don't know about you yet, would you use something different?
Well, I think that's where it has to be a multi-platform strategy. So I definitely use Instagram to market to new people. I run Instagram ads to get myself in front of new people on Instagram. I use certain hashtags in hopes of getting new eyeballs on my content, getting them to my page and realizing who I am and what I do. When it comes to Instagram, because I do social media, I do what I call cyber stalking social media events. So if there's a conference in another town, another city, another country, I literally stalk that hashtag on Instagram, and I go through and like everyone's content. And then they turn around and they go, hey, this Jen's Trends is liking all of my content. I wonder if they're at the conference. They go to my profile and go, oh, she's not at the conference, but look, she does social media marketing. And they have a lot of ways you can go after those new potential clients in a very targeted way. But you don't want to just say, oh, I'm using Instagram and that's the only way I'm going to find clients. You've got things like, you know, Twitter, Google, YouTube, your blog, your email, you know, all those kinds of things. And you want them to all have that same kind of coherent message that you know, they match up side by side, but that they're different on each platform.
Going native, I get that.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't get that, I think. And you know, regular businesses, they need to be taught and trained that they need to be a polyglot social media-wise. They need to understand that they've got to learn a lot of different languages and speak the native tongue on the native platform, as opposed to trying to put an Instagram post on Facebook. Would you agree?
I agree 100%. And beyond that, it's knowing the target audience on each platform, too. Hypothetically, you know, if you were on Snapchat, you're probably looking at your 18 to 30 demographic. If you're on Instagram, you're probably looking at more like a 25 to 40 demographic. And if you're on Facebook, you're probably looking at like a 35 to 60 demographic. That's just general. Obviously, there's exceptions to those rules. But posting the same, let's say, message to all three of Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook, you want to have maybe a similar photo or a similar message, but you're going to write it differently because you're speaking to three completely different generations. You're speaking different purposes. Likewise, if you throw LinkedIn in there, that's a couple, you know, so you want to have a similar message in the same voice, but you're speaking to a different audience, and you want to tailor that message across those different platforms. You want maybe the image to be a little bit different. Maybe it's a clear image on Facebook, and maybe it's a filtered image on Instagram. You know, you want to kind of play with what matches out for that specific platform.
Let's talk about one of our pet peeves, Jen.
Fun.
and it goes for all platforms, but particularly Instagram. The person that has no photograph on their profile.
Yes, that's one of many pet peeves. And yeah, that goes across the board. I will not, unless I know you as a personal friend and I've known you for years, which is I'm still going to give you a hard time because you don't have a photo, that is the only way I will follow you if you do not have a photo. I hate that people, you know, if you're on social media, you're there to be social. And put a photo up, it doesn't tell us who you are. You're hiding behind your computer. It's not social. And especially if you're using this in any way to market yourself, your brand, your business, your product, your service, and you don't have at least even a logo in there as your profile photo, it is the most untrustworthy thing you can do.
I would definitely agree. Well, it takes you, again, back to that Mad Men-style ad situation where you are just putting your billboard out there instead of putting your face.
Exactly. And that's where, especially, I mean, even when it comes to social media, a lot of businesses will use their brand logo because they're a business, and I get that. But if you're a bigger company and you have a lot of client or a lot of, you know, employees, or you're in multiple locations, the logo works. But if you're a small company, overlay your logo on pictures of your face. So if you have a staff of three, have all three of you in the photo and have the logo underneath across kind of the chest area or something. You can still have your logo in there, but understand that people are connecting with people. All business, your profile photo should have people in it.
Yeah, people connect with people for sure. Mm-hmm. and I think that that's what's sort of driven that change within social media is that we're not limited to a one-way message. We're creating these vast networks of conversations and people and connections, and so much can happen from that. And people worry, I think there are generations that worry about technology taking over and separating people, but I really believe it's about connecting.
I agree.
Speaking of that, let's talk about pet peeve number two.
Yeah.
The private account.
Yeah, the private account. So yeah, that's the same thing. It's if you're not, especially on Instagram, if you're not letting people see what you have to offer,
why do it?
Follow you. Yeah. So, there are a couple exceptions to the rule. And for example, I have Jen's Friends as my membership exclusive community, which is for Instagram marketing, and it's a paid membership. So I have a Jen's Friends account on Instagram, and that is a private account because you only get access to that account if you are a paid member of my community. Mm-hmm. And so that situation, yes, it's private for a reason. You have to get access. But my Jen's Trends, which is my popular brand, of course, is public because that's where I post everything publicly, and that's for everybody in general. So there are random situations where you could do a private account and it's for a purpose. But in general, I always use the example and when I'm doing events or speaking or talking with clients, if you have a private account, it's basically like you have a storefront right downtown in the busiest city, and you have blacked out windows, and you have a bouncer in front of the door. By are like, okay, I think I want to know what's in there, but I can't see. So they walk up to the bouncer and they say, hey, can I come in? Which is basically requesting permission to see your account.
Yeah.
Well, if the bouncer turned around and she, like, 5 seconds later goes, yeah, sure, come on in, and gives you access, okay. But what if the bouncer sits there and goes, yeah, I'll let you know. And he waits an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 days. Do you think those people are still standing around waiting to get access to your account?
No.
They've moved on. They don't care. They forgot who you were. When they're walking by your door of a store in a brick and mortar downtown, or when they are literally flying by on Instagram and seeing your account, They want to know right now, who are you, what do? Are you of interest to them? And if you're not giving them that privilege to see what you do and what you share, they, A, don't want to follow you because they don't know what content they're going to see when they do get access, and B, they're not going to sit around and wait. So it's the worst thing to do in terms of building your business is to have a private account. There are situations, like I said, where you can do it, but I highly discourage it.
So what is pet peeve number three?
Oh, pet peeve number three. Okay. Oh, yes. And there hasn't been a lot of them lately, but we see spam in every other platform, and we're seeing it in Instagram, too, and it's where somebody you don't know shares some sort of flogging picture of whatever, sunglasses, and tags people at random in there. I saw where if it actually comes in on your profile, you can untag it and get rid of it. But if it just shows up, what they've been doing is putting, tagging you in there in the comment section, so you can't get rid of
it. All right. You want to do is you want to go in and report, block, and delete if you can. So, yes, if they tag you in a comment, they're just at mentioning you, I go to the original post, the post that they actually tagged me in, and I go to the options button, the three-dot button, or the gear button, or whatever, depending on the device you're on. Mm-hmm. And you go up there, and you choose report. And you report that post as spam. Mm. Then I go to the person who, not the person who tagged me, but the person who posted that photo, and I report them for spam-like behavior. And every time you report somebody, it automatically blocks them. But you can actually even choose to block them. And then I go back to the person who mentioned me in the comment, and I block them and report them for spam-like behavior. So typically what happens is you use a hashtag that is more popular, and then that's how they find you because they're trolling hashtags, and they go in and they steal your username, and they stick you in a bunch of things. And it might happen once. It could happen three or four posts in a row. It can kind of be repetitive. But the idea is that you just report them, report them, report them. It's time-consuming, it's annoying, but the more we report them, the less that they're there. And yes, they're going to sprout up a new account somewhere else. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. You can choose to ignore it if you want, but absolutely, if they tag you in the photo where it shows up on your actual list of photos on your profile, go in and remove your tag. They're actually, that is complete violation of Instagram rules to tag somebody who's not in a photo, and that goes for anybody. So if I took a photo of us doing this call and I tagged the two of you in the photo, I can totally do that because you're both technically in.
Yeah.
If I started tagging brands, like I have a Dell monitor, so if I tag Dell because the Dell monitor is in the picture, yes, that works because technically Dell is in that computer. But if I started tagging three of my friends who aren't in that photo, that's actually a violation of Instagram's terms and conditions. So if people are tagging you and you're not in there, you absolutely have the right to tag or to report them for violation of terms of use and for spam.
Ah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So if you want to post something, I think what it is for me with Instagram is it's just posting out into nowhere. And I don't feel like it's really easy to connect with people on it.
Really? Because, see, I love Instagram because I feel like it's so easy to connect.
Okay.
I feel like it's the easiest platform to get new eyeballs, to get new friends, to get more engagement, because it is such a public platform. Where, you know, on Facebook, when you scroll through, if you like somebody's photo, you get notification that you liked it. So a lot of us kind of cyber stalk on Facebook, and we don't tend to be as engaged because we don't want someone to know we actually liked something, or we don't want to comment. So I'd send a personal message because I don't want to have like the 93 notifications when everyone else posts a comment.
Right.
So whereas on Instagram, if you like something, technically people could go in and find it, but it's not something that's going to show up in their feed. If you're going to comment on something, not everyone's going to see it. So I feel people are more likely to engage on Instagram. It's a much more engaging platform. You get more interaction on average. So it's more reactionary in that sense. But you have to be consistent. That's the hardest thing, is that if you're only posting once a month or even once a week sometimes, you don't get that engagement because people aren't necessarily seeing your content. And especially now that Instagram has instituted their algorithm, more important to be doing the best quality content and to be doing it on a consistent basis. So if you do twice a week, three times a week, four times a week, whatever that schedule is, you really want to stick to that consistency, because the more that you're there, and not that you want to post more content for the sake of posting more content. I'd rather post less and post better content. The more consistent you can be, the more that people are going to see your content and engage with your content, therefore you'll rank higher in that algorithmic feed as well. You want to make sure, though, that content is the best content. And that's the thing, if you're just posting something random for the sake of posting and you're not getting the engagement, that hurts you when it comes to the algorithm. Mm. You want to post the content that you know people are going to engage with.
Huh. I'm starting to figure that out on my own, I'm developing a strategy on my own Instagram. At first, it was just kind of willy-nilly and random, but it is still kind of a catch-all in a way. I mean, I think that we have to show we're human, but we show some of the things that we do, and I don't necessarily just do one thing, but it's not but I think my work is versatile enough that kind of fits in a similar basket. Writing, internet, I have writing life, internet life as the two main things, and of course sports writing was part of my writing life, and so I'm sharing photos in that realm, and then you know, whatever I see when I'm out and about in the community or in my backyard is about me personally. So, I do notice, I do pay attention to the posts that do get the more interaction, and I think that's a good rule of thumb. And you were saying in one of your blog pieces that you think the minimum amount of hashtags you should have is 15, or is that the maximum?
I say you should use 10 to 15 on every single post. So up to 30. I don't recommend using all 30 just because if you do, you can't add any more if someone else wants to use one. So, I mean, the more you use, the more reach you're going to have. But don't use them just for the sake of using them. You want them that are related to your content and or your niche and industry. So if you think about it from the perspective of if you pick, you know, 3 to 5 really popular ones. So let's say you posted a photo, you know, and it's about your sports writing. So you could have hashtag sports, hashtag, you know, maybe it's hockey or, you know, whatever it is. So you have a couple that are really popular ones. And then you could do another 3 to 5 that are kind of that moderately popular. So more about journalism and sports writing and kind of more of those niche specific ones. So now you're easily up to 10. And then throw in a couple of your own. You always want your own personal branded hashtags. So I'd use hashtag Jen's Trends and hashtag Learn from Jen. Those are my two hashtags that if people land on those, everything they're going to find is my content. So it's other ways that they can find me on Instagram by accident and find exclusively me without actually ending up on my bio.
So would you use your name as a hashtag?
You can. It depends on, you know, if you're known by your name as an author or a journalist or a brand, then yeah, you could totally use your name. Okay. Or you could use something, you know, put that kind of keyword in there or something maybe about, you know, you being an author or, you know, you being a photographer or you being a radio host or, you know, whatever it is. Or it could be something quirky and fun. If you're known for something, like one I use a lot that I don't use it in all my posts, but I wear high heels all the time, and everyone knows me for my shoes. So I have a post that's my outfit. It's always hashtag high heels every day. That's my hashtag.
And other that's cute.
Use it a little bit, but it's one of my kind of more branded hashtags. I used it a lot when I was pregnant because I refused to take off the heels even while I was pregnant. So I was hashtagging high heels every day. So if there's something that's quirky and fun that describes you as a brand, you can use those too. So
Cynthia and I should start using virtual newsmakers on all of our
absolutely
whether it's related to virtual newsmakers or not.
As long as it's related to you as a brand and what you guys are doing, absolutely. Cool. You know, absolutely put that in there, and then that shows up in your hashtag hub. So. It's, I mean, like I said, there alone with those three styles, you're easily over 10 hashtags. So it's not hard to get to 10, and it's really easy to get to 20 if you're doing something in a more of a popular topic or a specific niche and you find those hashtags. And what I recommend you do is save them in a note, whether you use Evernote or your notepad or some other app on your phone, and save them. That way you don't forget what they are because it's really easy to forget. You're like, oh, what were those hashtags I was using?
Gone back and edited my photographs to include different hashtags, punch up the hashtags a little.
The thing to keep in mind when it comes to your hashtags is the hashtags are based on when you posted the photo.
Oh.
So if you posted the photo 5 minutes ago, a week ago, a month ago, even if you update your hashtags, that's good, especially if they're not popular hashtags. But the hashtag, your content will fall in chronologically in that hashtag.
Right.
So it doesn't refresh to the top of the feed or anything. But again, if you decide you have your virtual newsmakers, like put that on all of your content, because then that way if someone finds that hashtag, they find all of your old content too. So you can definitely go back and add those.
So what other Instagram? What other things are musts on an Instagram post that you can think of?
Well, when it comes to Instagram posts, I mean, like we talked about, you want the good caption. If you have a call to action, that you want to, we were kind of talking about don't have to put a call to action on every post, but you should be posting some sort of call to action on a regular basis, especially from a business perspective. How can people get in touch with you? How can they find you? How can they, you know, whatever it is. So Like for me, I always advertise on my blog posts. So I have the link in my bio goes to my blog on my website. It does not go to my website homepage. It goes to my blog. New blog post is live. I tell them a little bit what the blog post, and then I say click on the link in my bio. So they click on my profile photo, then they click on the link, and they go right to the blog where the most current blog is the first one on the page, so they can go read it really easily. So you want to make sure that when you're doing that call to action, it's really clear and it's easy for them to do. If you want them to call you, put your phone number in there. If you want them to stop by the store to take advantage of a 20% discount, make sure you say drop by the store Sunday, you know, Sunday from 11 to 3, you know, whatever it is. And if you're sending them to a link, if for whatever reason you want to send them to your Facebook page, to an opt-in page, to a webinar sign-up, to a podcast, you know, link, to your YouTube channel, whatever, if you're sending them anywhere that is a link on the internet, put that link in your bio and say, click on the link in my bio. That way, they don't have to copy and paste and try to figure it out. They can just, in two clicks, get right where you wanted them to go. And then when that promotion campaign is done, then you can change that link back to whatever you normally have it set up.
So you can't put a link into a post?
You can, but it's not clickable. Mm, so then okay. They hate the whole text, and then they have to isolate the URL.
They should fix that.
You know, everyone says that, but I hope they don't. I really don't want them to. And I know that someday they will, but I don't want them to because that's one of the reasons I love Instagram is that it's not a link dropping, you know,
right.
Just a crapshoot of links that you get on every other platform. And the
if there was, people can choose whether or not they're going to click on that link or not because they wanted to.
Right, but the thing is that on every other platform, how many times do you accidentally click on the wrong link when you're scrolling through Twitter? You accidentally click on something on Facebook and you really want to click on something else or your page froze or whatever it is. Here's the thing. If you track your clicks from Instagram, which has to be done more using a Bitly link because the traffic that, and this is a whole other thing, but if Google Analytics does not track Instagram traffic as Instagram traffic unless it comes from the desktop. If you use a mobile device, Google Analytics recognizes the traffic as direct traffic, not a refuse, like a Bitly or a Google shortener, some other link that allows you to track your clicks. But if you look at the traffic that goes to your website from Instagram, it is pretty much zero. So the traffic that you're getting from Instagram, although it may be less than other platforms, is higher quality because people have to jump through a couple hoops by clicking a couple buttons. You really want to be there. So you're not getting junk traffic. You're getting highly targeted, highly converting traffic. And that's what's more important to me.
That's very interesting.
And the other thing that I learned on one of the other platforms that I manage is that I created another Instagram profile, and the photographs that are posted on Instagram on the other profile, you could actually automatically go into the page. I know you can automatically have your Instagram photos go into Facebook, your regular Facebook, but going into the page, if you're posting from a corporate account, you can have it go into your corporate page.
Yeah, you just have to set that up as the linked account. So you go into your profile, you do your edit profile settings, and you go to linked accounts. And then when you link in there, you just have to have access to the business page, and then you select that as your linked account. It will always default to your personal profile, but then yes. So if you manage multiple Facebook pages, you have to choose which one you want, because otherwise, it'll default to your personal account, and then you can go through and say, oh, I want it to go to this business page. And you can go in and change them anytime as well. So you could go in and say, I want this one to go to a different page, or go to my personal instead of my business and that sort of thing. But yes, you can definitely link them for sharing.
Mm. Well, this has been absolutely terrific. So if people want to get in touch with you for some more consulting on Instagram, how do they find you? How do they reach you?
Yeah, so my website is jenstrends.com. That's Jen with two N's because I was born in the 80s with about a bazillion other Jennifers. it's Jen with two N's. But jenstrends.com, and if you go to services, it lists out all the services I offer, my consulting services. I do Insta audits where it's a $75. I'll do an audit of your Instagram account and tell you what you're doing well, what you can improve on. And I turn those around in about 2 days. And then I also have my Instagram marketing community called Jen's Friends. You can go on there. and sign up and get exclusive access to everything, training videos, exclusive access to me, our Facebook group, our Instagram account, and all the breaking news about Instagram I share with that community first. So if that's something you're interested in, you can look into that. And of course, you can find me pretty much everywhere on social media at Jens_trends.
Excellent. Well, we end out each show with a challenge of the week. And if you could think of one thing that people could do next week or this upcoming week to make a difference, what would that be?
I would challenge people to figure out their why on social media. On social media, and it's kind of like they check the box. I'm there, I did it, move on. But they don't know why they're there. What is your goal? Why are you using social media? What is the purpose? Why are you posting? Every post on social media should have a purpose. It should not just be to, you know, pass time or because you know you need to. It should have an actual purpose. So figure out what that purpose is. Get that kind of strategy thinking going for your social media, and I guarantee you, you'll see better results with all your social media.
Ah, that's great. Well, thank you for joining us today, Jen. We loved having you on.
Thank you. It was so much fun. It was lovely talking with you ladies, and I hope we can maybe do it again sometime.
Sounds
definitely.
Great.